to Matthew chapter 5. We'll be continuing with the Sermon on the Mount today. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. One of our lovely ushers will be happy to lend you one. So Matthew chapter 5, 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, "You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord." But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, so much for this morning, Lord, and your word, and Jesus' preaching on Beatitudes, God, and his teaching on the commandments. Father, help us, God, to be open, God, not just to what the letter of the law is, God, but what your spirit is. And so, Father, we open ourselves to you, God. Help us to live our lives, God, that are honoring to you, not just in terms of vows, God, but to have genuine worship, God. And so to that end, God, I humble myself, Lord, to be used by you to preach your prophetic message. God, I ask, will you release your Holy Spirit in and around this place, God? Not that my words will have effect, God, but that your spirit will transform us from the inside out. And so, God, we give you permission to do whatever it is you want to do, not that you need it, but God, we're saying we are desperate for you. Lord, change us, God. We thank you, we love you, we bless you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Hey, sorry, Jay, could you turn it down a little? I'm a little cold. I didn't have breakfast this morning. It's like a breakfast fast, so I'm cold. Corny, sorry. So we're continuing on our Sermon on the Mount. And let me start off by saying this message is going to be a bit more teaching than probably what my normal messages are, simply because Jesus' teaching, in this case on the vow, is a bit more practical. Rather than something necessary. I mean, it's going to draw on our hearts as well. There's something he's speaking to our hearts, but in terms of the majority of what he's saying, it really is more of a practical sense and more of a character sort of sense. And so it'll be more teaching, but I promise by the end of it, there's going to be a connection as to what God's saying to us. But the other side of that too, it just means our message will probably be a little bit shorter just because, you know, it's so practical. And so it'll be easy to kind of go. And so my gift to you before PSAM comes back. So it'll be... I wasn't making a comment on PSAM's messages. I was just saying, in case if he's listening. Bless the Lord. Okay. So let me get into it. And so since it's been a few weeks since I've been here, let me kind of go through a quick review. And so over the last basically 6 weeks when I've been preaching, a lot of what I've been preaching out of is this idea that God has been speaking to us and Jesus is speaking to us through the Beatitudes, not just as a way to talk about the coming kingdom, but especially after verse 17 when he talks about, I did not come to abolish the law of the prophets, but I came to fulfill it. After that, he starts preaching about the Ten Commandments. He starts giving his treatment on what it means not just to live the Christian life, but what the Ten Commandments mean to us today in present day. Because remember, before he came, basically what people were living by was the Mosaic Law and the Ten Commandments that God had given to them. And so after the coming of Jesus and this preaching, he was basically explaining to those that were listening, this is what the new kingdom is going to look like. This is what it means for us to now live in freedom because I'm going to fulfill the law, but also as Christians in living out what God has called us to live. And so today when we're going to be talking about the vows, we're going to be looking at it in this way. Now, before I kind of get into it, you know, again, back to my kind of seminarian mind, when I was reading it, some of the questions kind of came up to me, right? And specifically two questions, again, is one, is, first of all, making vows wrong? Is it a sin, right? Is what is Jesus teaching, basically telling us, you will make no vow, right? Basically never swear by any, not by cursing, right? Not saying, you know, four-letter English words that aren't so good, but swearing by a name, right? Or should we never take an oath? Or is there something deeper he's trying to say? And two, what is the connection on his teaching of vows that has to do with having righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes. Because basically, all this teaching that Jesus is talking about is helping us understand what his heart is in being Christian, right? What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to know him? And what does it mean to live that way? And so we can keep those questions in our mind, right? So one, right, is it wrong for us to make vows? And what is Jesus trying to say? What is the heart of Christ when it comes to being Christian? Now, before I kind of get there, just some quick kind of teaching about verses 33 and 37, 237. This is actually Jesus' teaching on the third commandment. If you can remember the third commandment from Exodus 20, verse 7, I can read it to you. It is, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Now, when we read this, it's clear it's not just this commandment. In fact, when I began to study this, I realized that Jesus was actually taking a number of Old Testament commandments or Old Testament verses and putting it together with Exodus 20, verse 7, in order to make his case, right? For example, he takes Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." He also taught from Leviticus 19, verse 12, "You shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." So why does Jesus do this? I'm going to get into it later. But what he's actually doing is a teaching that encompasses more than just taking the Lord's name in vain. That's a part of it, but there's a part of it now that talks about vows, how we should speak, and the manner in which as Christians, how is it that we should live? And so this is why Jesus kind of puts it all together. And so to start, let me kind of start from the beginning. And first of all, to answer, what is an oath? Right? If we were to ask this question, Jesus, is it wrong for us to take an oath? Is there something deeper or more to what you're saying? We first have to understand what is an oath. And so to do that, I went to my good friend Google, and I said, what is an oath? And it came up with two things that I'm going to basically recite to you. And the first one comes from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. An oath is simply a solemn, usually formal calling upon God or to a God or any God to witness to the truth of what one says or to witness that one has sincerity and intends to do what he says. All right, so basically Merriam-Webster is saying the whole point of an oath is to show somebody that what I'm saying to you is truthful, and not only is it truthful, I'm good for it. You can take my word for it. I'm going to do what I'm going to say, right? I mean, it was a very formal and beautiful way of doing it. I like Google's way of saying it, invoking a divine witness regarding someone's action in the future. Much simpler for someone like me, you know, easier to understand. Okay, and so that's an oath. Now, I also want to make it clear that an oath in this case is the same as swearing, right? Not cursing, but you know, for example, when we, you know, in the States or in Canada, basically most Commonwealth countries, and actually even in Hong Kong, when you go to court, you get sworn in, right? And it's with your left hand. Is that right? Right hand. Okay, thank you. All the lawyers are like, no. Are you sure? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so it's with your right hand. And you know, what they tell you to do is you swear an oath, basically to say that everything that you say in the court of law is going to be truthful. That is also a type of oath, okay? And so it's an oath. It's quite simple what it is. Now, is taking an oath wrong? Okay? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34, says very plainly, "But I say to you, make no oath at all." Now, obviously, we want to take the full breadth of Scripture into mind here. And of course, as my seminarian teaching, right, I started searching a little bit. And I realized what Jesus was saying, actually, if I was to take it quite literally, is not congruent with Scripture. Right? And I'm going to go into this. Right? I'm not saying Jesus is wrong. I'm just saying that maybe there's something more in which he's saying. Because although he says in Matthew 5:34 that to not make an oath, this is what it says in the rest of, especially in the Old Testament. Now, before I get to the verses, it's really interesting Because many of these verses not only seem to accept taking oaths, they seem to encourage it, and there seems to be a command. Okay, and so let me kind of go through it, and so just to make this case, Matthew 5:33-34, take no oath, make no oath, but Numbers chapter 30, verse 2 says this: when a man makes a vow to the Lord to take, I'm sure Mao also does it too. That was so corny. Sorry. When a man makes a vow to the Lord to take an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he says. Okay? So Numbers 30 seems to say it's okay to do it. In fact, it's expected for us to make an oath. Okay? Somewhere else, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. This is Solomon. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow, okay, exclamation mark, okay? And so Solomon also seems to write and to believe that oaths are okay, okay? Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name, okay? Now, Moses is even saying, not only do you take an oath, right? When you take an oath, only swear by God, okay? What's going on, right? Why is it that the Old Testament seems to be so okay with oath-taking, but Jesus is now saying, make no oath at all? Now, I know this is scripture or examples of basically law, but I also want to give you an example where it actually happened. You don't have to turn there. You can look at it later if you want. But in Genesis chapter 22, verses 16 and 17, God makes a promise, actually also an oath to Abraham, saying that he's going to bless him. And so Jesus is saying, don't make any oaths, but God himself makes oaths. And he teaches the Israelites to make oaths. So what is going on, okay? Now, when I was going through this, I also wanted to find an example. Because, you know, scripturally that's good, but I was thinking, is there anything in the church that we do currently, you know, are we sinning, you know, are we wrong, do we take any oaths? And so I was wondering, do we actually make any oaths in our church? And I realized, actually, we do take oaths in our church. In fact, one of the most important oaths that most people take in the church is what? Marriage. Your marriage vows. That's an oath. Right? Remember, you know, if I remember mine. I'm sitting here across from my wife, you know, for better or for worse, for richer or poor. Wait, did I say that? No. For richer or for poor, in sickness and in health, right? All those things that we say to our spouse, that's actually, we're taking an oath before God. And so, actually, in the church, we do this as well. And so, what's going on? You know, is there something deeper to it? Now, when I was studying, I came to realize what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't necessarily talking about not making oaths, but he was speaking as to the heart behind it. Let me explain to us. Now, in order to understand this, we have to understand the Jewish culture a little bit and the old Israelite culture back in the day. Remember that the Israelites were a nation where God revealed himself to, as one, as a way to reveal to other nations, but more importantly, they were his people. And so when he revealed himself to them, remember, he revealed himself both in power, right? Remember the cloud and the pillar of cloud and the fire, all these sort of things, but he also revealed himself in his word. Now, for the Israelites, when they spoke of God, it wasn't just for us when we read of the Bible. Obviously, we've had our experiences of God today. But for Israel, it was so real because it was tangible. So any time that an Israelite talked about God, especially in bringing him into an oath, it meant business, right? It wasn't like us today. You know, today we'll say things like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe that happened. Oh, my God, right? Or you know, I swear to God, right? We say these things today, but a lot of times when we say God, we really don't mean it, right? There's really no value as when we say, oh my goodness, or I swear to God. But back in the day, when an Israelite would say the name God, there was like trembling fear. Anytime an Israelite would invoke the name of God or the law of God in a vow, it was like It was business. It was like signing their life away. So much so, this is what it was like. So, for example, if Janella and I, we had a deal. She looks very worried. Don't worry, I'm not going to. Okay. Say we had a deal, and I owed her some money. Okay. Say I borrowed some money from her, and now I owe her back. And she comes to me, and she says, hey, Ricky, you owe me some money, man. Are you going to pay me back? If I said to her, Janella, I swear to God, I'm going to pay you back. I swear to God. What that would mean to Janella as the person receiving it, it would mean to her as an Israelite saying, my word is as good as done, to the point where for her, it's as if God's saying, I'm going to pay you back. That's how much weight the name of Yahweh, God, had back in the day, right? If I said to you, I swear to God, I'm going to pay you back, it's as if God himself was going to take on that oath and to pay her back. Now, for me, as the person giving that oath, it would have as if been like, instead of paying Janella, it's like me promising to God, God, I'm going to pay you back. Right? You guys see that, right? It was a huge thing. It wasn't just a frivolous thing as in, oh, God. It was God. And so anytime they said that, it meant something. Now, why would Jesus be against this? The reason is because remember, there was the commandment of God, the Ten Commandments, where God gave to Moses, gave to the Israelites. But as Israel continued to journey on, there was the Mosaic Law. Remember, Moses gave a lot of the law through oral law. It was orally. And then what happened after that, there was something called the Mishnah. What the Mishnah is a set of Jewish writings that basically is commentary on the law. So there's a law on the law, and then a commentary on the law. And this commentary basically taught people how to live out the law. And what happened was, as the generations went by, there was a section in the Mishnah that talked about vows, but specifically it talked about when vows were binding and when vows were not binding. So what ended up happening was, as the Jewish people kind of went through the generations, eventually what happened was, when people took vows, they started breaking them. And not only that, people started cheating because of vows and unbinding vows. And so the example Jesus gives here, and this is why he talks about don't swear by heaven or by the throne of God or anything like that, because it's a sin to swear by God and not do it, what people did was they started doing this. I swear to you by heaven that I'm going to do it, right? Because heaven's not God, right? Heaven's not the name of the Lord. Or they would say, I swear to you by the temple that I'm going to pay you back, right? Or I swear to you by the city of Jerusalem that, you know, this is going to happen. And so what people did was they started using the temple in heaven as a way of credibility, but not actually meaning what they said. And so what Jesus was actually speaking to was not just talking about oaths, but the heart of those behind taking the oaths. See, remember, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes. And remember, we talked about, for the Pharisees and the scribes, the word of God was simply a profession. It meant nothing to them in their heart. All the law was to them, was a way to seem pious and to look good in front of people. And so when Jesus is saying, don't take oaths and do these things, what he's really speaking to is the heart. He was saying, do not make an oath that you're ungenuine about. See, Jesus is not saying, don't make any oath at all. He was saying, don't say something you do not mean. Don't speak something that you're not going to do. Don't say something that you're not going to follow through on. Now, there's something, I mean, you know, in the world, we experience this all the time. Remember when I used to be in automotive, and basically my automotive industry, and the automotive industry is pretty quick, it's pretty fast. We have a motto that if we wanted it done, we wanted it done a week ago. And because usually if something goes wrong, we have to stop an entire manufacturing line, it costs them a lot of money, all these sort of things. And so sometimes things would come up that need to get done right away. And I remember I would make calls to the States, and my counterpart there, I was a design engineer at the time. My counterpart there at the time, I would sometimes I would be very clear as to something needs to be done very, very quickly, because otherwise it would cost everyone a lot of money and we would be in a lot of trouble. And so I remember one time I was saying, hey, man, you got to make sure this line runs. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And he said, I'm going to do it, man. Don't worry, I'm going to do it. Because he messed up once already. And so he said, don't worry, I'm going to take care of it. I said, no, you don't understand. You got to do it. And then he said this to me. He said, Ricky, I swear to you by my mother's grave that I'm going to get it done. And I was like, for me, I was kind of like, I understood what he was saying, but this is going to sound really bad, but I kind of didn't really believe him. In some ways, I was like, what does that mean anyway, right? What do you mean you swear by your mother's grave, right? And so we see this happen all the time, right? Even as playground kids, right? It's like, I swear I didn't do it, right? Actually, when I was preparing for this message, I was praying actually to about this because, you know, as a pastor, you don't want to preach anything that you yourself do. And I was praying, God, do I make oaths and stuff like that? And I didn't really feel like he said I have really any issues with this now. But he showed me a really, he reminded me of a funny thing that happened when I was in like grade 2 when I was 7. And I remember taking an oath. And what happened was, it was my first experience with a snowball fight. Anyone here been in a snowball fight? Best thing ever. Okay, you can hurt people without hurting people. Like, it's so fun. I shouldn't have said that. You just basically you take snow, you throw it around, and this was my first snowball fight. Even though when I moved there, I was 4 years old, and the reason why it took 3 years for it to happen is because I had immigrant parents who never seen snow, and so when they saw fresh snow, they said, "Ricky, do not touch it." Right? It is beautiful. Don't touch. And so I wouldn't touch it. And my mom had she would get hives when she would get cold. And so, you know, we couldn't do that stuff to her. She would get annoyed with us. And so I would never have a snowball fight before. And so when I saw like 20, 30 kids having a snowball fight, it was like this light bulb went off. I was like, this is what you do with snow. This is what's real. And so I wanted to do it. And I had no idea what I was doing. So I just grabbed a whole bunch of snow and I chucked it. It was horrible. It just like disintegrated in midair. It didn't even go anywhere. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, so this is not what you do. So I started looking around at what other kids did. And I saw them like kind of packing snow. And you gotta understand, I'm 6'1 now and like 180 pounds. But when I was a kid, I was a wimpy little kid. Right? I was like 5'3 until I was 14. And so you can imagine how short I was back when I was 7. And so I was trying to, like, you know, get these big snowball things and throw. I couldn't do it. And so I said, you know what? I'm determined. I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn how to snowball fight. I hid behind a tree so no one hit me. And I started taking snow and I started packing it, like really like crushing it. And if you guys know what happens when you crush snow together, it gets hard, almost icy. And here's the secret. See, I didn't know this at the time, but, you know, I should have used my hands. It would have been better or worse, I guess. But I took my glove and I started rubbing it. And what happens is the friction causes some of the snow to melt, and it creates like a glaze around the snowball. So it holds together, so it's nice and hard. And then it makes it really aerodynamic. And so when you throw it, it's like, right? And so I was like packing. I was like, oh, I'm going to get somebody with this, right? Imagine my wimpy little, I'm going to get somebody with this, right? And I was ready, man. I was going to go out there and step. So I was looking around the tree, and I saw basically like a snow fort, these kids behind the snow fort, and there was a hat behind it, and I couldn't see who it was, but I said, you know what? I'm going to get that kid. Next time that kid comes, I'm going to get that kid. And so the first thing, you know, the kid stands up. I just whip it, like throw it. You know what? The funny thing is I guess I was aiming, but I wasn't really aiming because I didn't throw it directly. I just threw it up, like stupid kid. And so I'm going to get him. I threw it up, and I just see the trajectory of the snowball. It was like anticipation to the max. The kid gets up, smack right in the face. I kid you not. And it was horrible because I hit a girl. Have you seen, you know the comic Calvin and Hobbes? You know when Calvin hits Susie, like she literally knocked off her feet? It was like that. And I was standing there, but to be honest, I was so proud of myself. I was like, I did it! Mom, I did it! Right? But it was really bad because the snowball was really hard. I guess it became kind of icy. And so I didn't know this, but apparently the girl got really, really hurt. And so when the teacher was trying to figure out what happened, these kids was like, it was him, right? They pointed at me. I was like, oh, crap. No, no, it was him. The teacher came up to me. I was like, did you do it? I was like, no, I didn't do it. As a kid, right? I mean, I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't do it. She kept pressing me, and finally said, I swear to God, I didn't do it. Right, I got away. literally. Like, I said, I swear to God, I didn't do it. And she was like, okay, Ricky. She believed me. And, you know, and so, and anyway, I don't know why I told all that story, but I was so convicted, I started praying for the girl. I said, Lord, heal her if her face is not okay. I prayed no frostbite or anything like that. I just started praying. Seriously, I felt so convicted by it. But I guess what I was trying to say is, you know, we do this all the time, right? Jesus is talking about being genuine in using the name of God, but we use God's name in vain all the time, right? Oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Even when we say like, oh my goodness, right? Oh my God, oh my Lord. But it's not something that we actually mean. And so this is exactly what Jesus was talking about. See, using the name of God, I mean, I was really bad. I used it to get away, right? But sometimes using the name of God just so we can seem more truthful, or just so we can break an oath, or just so we can seem like we're genuine in what we do. See, that's what Jesus is talking against. Not necessarily the oath itself, but the heart. And so what I felt like Jesus was really speaking to us about, and what I was really drawing out of this, was this idea of genuine worship. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us right now, right? It's the whole point of him teaching this against the Pharisees is because their oaths meant nothing. The law meant nothing. And so when they said things or when they took oaths, all it was an empty and conceited promise. And so let me ask us a question. And this is not a condemning thing in any way, right? Even when I was worshiping, I was asking this of myself. But when we were worshiping, did you mean every word that you said? Did you mean every word that you sang? When you worshiped, was it just simply that you did by rote or tradition? Or was it something in your heart that really said, Lord, I love you, I worship you, I'm going to follow you? Or was it simply something you did to follow someone else? See, the whole idea that Jesus is talking about and of not taking oath by heaven or by the throne of God and all these sort of things, he's speaking to this idea of not being genuine in the promises that we make, especially to the promises we make to God. See, I think because in worship, we do this all the time, right? We, you know, Pastor Nate's singing with his silky smooth voice, right? Right? We're feeling it. There's the Holy Spirit moving. And then all of a sudden we say, God, I'm gonna follow you anywhere, right? I'm gonna do anything that you want me to do. But without understanding that our words and even our prayers hold a lot of value in God's eyes. We forget that sometimes we can be frivolous into what we say. And so this brings me to my first point, is number one, and I only have three today, very short, right? The first point is this. I feel like Jesus, in teaching on vows on the Sermon on the Mount, the first thing he's asking us is, are we genuine, right? Are we genuine in what we say, okay? Leviticus 19:12, okay, do not swear falsely and so profane the name of your God, right? Don't make a promise and not keep it. Do not dishonor God's name simply by being frivolous in what we say. See, the question of are we genuine, it goes beyond more than just oaths. See, one of the things that we have to recognize as Christians, and it's something, I mean, I've had to recognize, I guess, a little bit more and more, is this idea of when I say that I'm Christian, people actually watch in what we do and what we say, right? When we're in the workplace, I mean, I'm no longer in a secular workplace, but I remember when I used to be, once I said I was Christian, it seemed like as if there was a microscope, right, put on me. It's like every word meant something or every action. And the truth of the matter is, if we say we're Christians and yet our actions are not genuine, see, what it's actually saying is it says less about us but more about our faith, right? James 5:12 tells us, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but yet let your yes be yes, no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. See, the word judgment there is not judgment as in judgment by God. The word in Greek, krisis, The idea behind that is actually judgment between people. This word is actually used in the New Testament a lot when Jesus talked about being taken to court and whatnot. So it's actually being judged by people. And so, see, what happens is when we say we're Christian, but we're ungenuine or we're not genuine what we say, people judge us and judge our God and judge our faith by it. And see, what happens is when we are unable to be to fulfill what we say, we perpetuate the worldly idea that God's name is not worth very much anyway. See, these days, what's worth something, right? It's science, it's proof, it's evidence. To say because God said means very, very little. And so as Christians, if we were to say that we are believers of God and that he does do what he say, and for us then to not be able to reflect that character of God, what we're basically saying is God's name doesn't mean that much to us, and so it shouldn't mean that much to you. So we should be careful, right? Not to use God's name quickly or easily, not to swear and to say, I swear by God. We should simply do as we say we're going to do. All right? Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Okay, number one, are we genuine? Are we genuine in what we say? Are we truly, do we always, you know, are we always aware in that way? Now, R.T. Kendall, kind of, when I was kind of doing my research for this, in his book, I didn't really think of this, but when I read it, I kind of realize that this is something that in the church that we do as well. But RT was saying that, you know, even in our modern day Christian vernacular, we need to be a little bit careful, right? Saying things like, oh, praise God, or bless the Lord, or hallelujah. And the reason is because, you know, we do this, right, as Christians, right? Say, right, you sang a really good song, someone comes to you, hey, man, that sounded really good. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Right? Because I think as Christians, we're taught to be humble, and so we're learning, and one of the things that we do is we try to deflect as much as we can, right? And that's a good thing. It's not wrong to deflect, but sometimes even the words that we say, oh, it was all God. But really, we're just saying it. It's not because we really believe it was God. It was like, oh yeah, it was all God. But was it really God? Was it really me? Maybe it was me, right? Maybe it was God. And so RT was making the case that even in the way we respond and the little things that we say, see, when we say those things, we have to understand, do we really mean it? Are our hearts genuine in blessing him? Are we genuine in praising him? Or is it simply a way for us to seem humble? Okay, now, something else he talks about, and you know, and something I've also experienced is this too. You know, sometimes we also use God's name, and we use it as a way to kind of give ourselves credibility, right? You know, say a brother, Janella, you know, she has a, I don't want to, you know, I shouldn't, you know, who can I pick on here that's safe? You know, Janella's safe, it's okay. So say Janella has a problem, okay, and I go up to her and I say, hey, you know, I know what you're going through because God did this, but let me tell you what I did, right? See, sometimes when we want to use God's name as a way of saying, oh, God's moved in me, he's kind of done something in my life, so let me teach you what he's done. See, there are times when we praise God in that way, but we're not even sure if we really mean it. Sometimes it's just a way to kind of convince the other person or even ourselves that it's true. And so we need to be very, very careful not to use God's name simply for credibility, right? And the warning is important because that's exactly what the Pharisees did. For them, God and the law was credibility so that they can remain in their religious life. Now, another very important point for us at SP is on the prophetic, okay? Because we're a church that believes that God speaks and we pray and we practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this is an area that we also have to be very, very careful about, right? At SP, we don't say things like God said, okay? We don't say things like, thus saith the Lord, right? When we pray and we pray for people, we say it in such a way that if it's right, God gets the glory. But if it's wrong, it's our fault, okay? And so we say things more like, hey, I sense God saying. I feel like this may be happening. Because in that way, we do not dishonor God's name when sometimes we get it wrong. And the truth of the matter is, everyone does, right? No one is perfect, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. And so when we pray for people, we need to be very careful never to do it in such a way with assurance that we're 100% correct, right? God's telling me that you're doing this, right? No, right? Never do that. Always come with the sense and the fear of God, knowing that you may not know perfectly. And so speak in such a way that honors God. Something else that we also have to be a little bit careful about, too, is the idea of using God's name as an excuse. Now, I know this probably doesn't happen so much, but sometimes, say if we're, you know, doing something and we share with our brothers and sisters and, you know, I'm kind of going through this and I'm taking this action or I'm doing this in my company, right? Maybe our leaders will say to us, you know, maybe that's not such a good idea. And instead of taking their advice, what do? Well, God told me to do it, right? God told me! And so we use it to justify our actions. And so we also have to be careful not to do that as well. Because in that way, I would, you know, as R.T. would say in his book, and as I've probably said to some people too, right? Did God really say it? Right? Are you the only one that hears from God? And so we need to be very, very careful to be genuine and to be careful not to swear by God's name. Because otherwise, it may get us into trouble. Okay? Now, in this way, I guess I can share an example or a testimony, and it's not so much, I didn't necessarily take an oath or swear, but this is a good testimony for us to be careful. There's a person in the church and a sister in the church, and she was very gracious about it because I had a meeting with this person, and basically she came to share that, you know, she was kind of upset with me. And basically what happened was, over the course of about a few months, this person was kind of sharing with me what was happening in their life, you know, what they were asking me for advice, what to do with work and all these sort of things. And I've been praying for them, and I've been giving this friend, I guess, as godly wisdom as I could. But over the course of the few months, what happened was, as we were talking, I'm being very careful not to say this person's line of work and also, you know, all these sort of things. And so forgive me if it sounds like it's a bit disconnected. I've made this mistake before. And so what happened was, as we were talking more about this person's work, I started seeing connection between their work and the possibility of what was happening in SP. Right? I was saying, oh, you know, maybe you can come and, oh, maybe you should quit and come and, you know, come and join and do this in the church. Or, oh, maybe you should think about starting your own business and doing this and all these sort of things. And I didn't know this, but at the time, every time I said it, this person actually took my word really, really seriously. And for me, to be honest, when I said it to the person, it wasn't a prophetic thing, right? It wasn't like as if I felt like God was saying it and I just kind of gave it to the person. It was just like, oh, you know, since it seemingly matched, I just said, hey, you know, why don't you think about doing that? And what happened was, because they took it seriously, they went home and prayed about it. And they were, like, over a course of months, they prayed about it. And the next time they came back to me, they asked me, hey, should I do this? I totally gave them another idea. And this person, she got pissed, man. She got upset at me. And so we had to have a meeting. And, I mean, she was really gracious about it. She was so humble. Right, I mean, if there's anyone who could have corrected me, like, this person was perfect, right? Because she basically said, hey, you know, when you said these things to me, I took you really seriously. I was like, and to be honest, I was like, what are you talking about, right? And I mean, she said this, like, because you have a prophetic gift and you're a pastor and all these sort of things, when you said these things, I thought it was like you really meant it. I thought this was something that I should do. And so when you kept giving me things like differently over and over, I felt like you were just kind of messing with my life. I felt like you were just, you didn't really care. And so when she said that, I was like, I repented, right? I was so sorry. I said, I'm so sorry that you felt that way. To be honest, I mean, it was an excuse, but I said, I didn't really think that anyone took what I said this seriously anyway, but maybe I need to be careful as to what I say. And so I think this is a good reminder for us as Christian brothers and sisters. We also have to be very careful what we say to one another, right? being genuine, not just in our thought and our advice and these things, but not to be frivolous with our words, especially when giving advice, or even, you know, maybe we shouldn't give so much advice, right? But even in how we pray or even in how we share, right? Being very, very careful in that way. Now, number two, the next thing I believe Jesus was teaching was not only do we have to be genuine in what we say, we have to be very careful in what we say to God, specifically our promises. Okay, be very careful in what we promise to God. Okay? Deuteronomy 23:21 says this, "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be a sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you." Okay? It would be a sin for you if you did not pay it, or even if you delayed to pay it, and your Lord your God will surely require of you. Now, I know I used the topic of worship earlier, but I believe this is true, right? When we're worshiping and the feelings are oozing out and the silky smooth voice is going and, you know, oh, we're feeling the tears, sometimes it's really easy for us to say things like, "God, I will follow you to the ends of the earth." Right? Actually, sometimes I think maybe we may make other vows too as we're praying, right? "God, if you give me this job, I'm going to give you my life." Right? I'm sure some of us have been there, right? "God, if you help me in this business deal, I'm going to give you my entire bonus." Right? "God, if you give me this spouse, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life." He's giggling, but I'm sure, right? It's true. We make these promises, but oftentimes, sometimes what happens is God delivers and we forget. We forget. Now, I know there's some like pretty ones that we kind of say too, like, you know, I'm sure in Hong Kong, who here loves sushi? Right? You know, when we're really sick, "God," you're like throwing up, "heal me and I'll never eat sushi again," right? I've done that. I've had to repent. I've come to realize, right? Even things like that, we actually have to be very careful of, right? Not to be frivolous in what we pray, because God is going to require of you. Now, my personal example of this is, you know, years before I heard from God that, you know, he wanted me to be a pastor, I remember, you guys know my testimony, right? I was saved. I didn't really grow up with my dad. I had a chip on my shoulder. I didn't really know what it meant to grow up as a man. I didn't have a role model. I didn't know what it meant to be a father. I didn't know what it meant to be a good son or all these sort of things. And so I was growing in the church. One of the things I was praying to God about was, "God, can you teach me? I don't really know what to do." And he gave me a promise in Romans 8:28 and 29. It says, "And we know God and all things, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And for those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers." And what God was saying to me and the promise he was giving to me was this, is that, "Ricky, I promise I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to teach you how to do all these things by making you into my son." Right? That was his promise to me. That was his thing. And I was so moved by it, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I said, "God, if you would teach me, I'll do anything you ask. I will follow you to the ends of the earth." Well, guess what happened? 3 years after that, he asked me to be a pastor. Now, I love my job. I love what I do. But what I'm trying to say is sometimes we don't realize that even in our prayers, God remembers what we pray. And so remember what we say, God is not a safe God. He's sometimes quite dangerous, but he's a good God. We need to be careful when we pray things like, "God, send me to the ends of the earth." Right? In the moment, right, when we say those sort of things, "God, I'm going to do this for you." Because it's like to God, it's like a covenant. And so when we don't come through, it's a sin. And so we have to be very careful in the promises that we make. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Have you made any promises to the Lord that you haven't fulfilled? Okay? Not about sushi, okay? I get that, right? But maybe, right? "God, give me this job and I will serve you." Right? Are you serving God? Or, "God, give me a spouse and I will serve you." Well, are you serving God? Right? Are you really following him? God is faithful. Have you been faithful in this way? So number two, right? We need to be careful in the promises we make to God. Number three. And this last one is really, really simple. And I brought it up a few times, and this is kind of where I kind of want to leave it, is this idea of, I feel like what Jesus is really asking us through the vows and the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, and what he's asking Christians and believers of the times is your worship of me genuine? Is your worship of me truly genuine? Meaning, see, when you come to me, do you really come to me because you want to be with me? You love me? Because you want to get to know me? Or am I simply someone that you get things from? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I want to say this very clearly. You know, when we first come to know Christ, right, the first thing he asks is, come and see. Right? He doesn't expect for us to grow into maturity the first day, right? That's not who God is. He understands we need to move step by step as he becomes more faithful. But I'm speaking to us as those who've been in the church for a long time, right? Is our faith genuine, or is it simply something that we do because it's family tradition, or is it because something that we do because we used to believe? Is it something that we do because other people have told me to do it? And is it really because we have a relationship with Jesus? At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is our genuine worship towards God. And that's what I believe he's saying from this, right? Why is he juxtaposing oaths with the Pharisees? It's because their hearts were not genuine. And so neither were their actions. And so we should be very honest with ourselves today and with God. Are our actions, are our minds, and our hearts towards God genuine? And so why don't we close our eyes? Have the worship team come up. And what I really feel like God was speaking to me today was this idea on faithfulness and promises. And, you know, I think it's a opportune day that today is communion. Because God is faithful to us. Amen? When he said that he was going to die and send his son in the Old Testament, he did it. He sent his son and he came and he suffered and he died for us. When God tells us in his scriptures that he's going to take care of us, he meant it. He's going to take care of us. But what I felt like God was speaking to us today was this idea of, I am faithful to you. Can you be faithful to me? I don't feel like this is and I want to be very clear, it's not a condemning thing where God is saying, oh, you're not doing it. But I feel like Jesus is really inviting us into a life of faithfulness. He's inviting us into a life of genuine worship, where our hearts truly mean what we say to him and what we pray. Where our worship to God becomes more than just saying words on a screen, but rather because it is the cry of our hearts. And so, let the Spirit speak to us. Have there been any promises that you've made in your life for God? Has there been any frivolous thing where you've said to him, say, God, I'll give you everything, or I'll do this, or I'll pay this, or I'll give that? See, God's not after the amount. He's not after the money. He's not after the what. What he's simply after is your heart. Can you trust him? And so as the worship team leads us today, let's really reflect on that point. All right, this really comes down to when we took our, in this way, quote-unquote, oath, saying, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. See, when we accepted Jesus, we didn't just say, God, I accept you in some way. We said, Lord, no, you're now my Savior, my Master. And being Master means I will do whatever you say, and I'll honor whatever you give. Is Jesus our Master? Can we be faithful in that way? Let's pray. Please have the ushers come forward. First Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he took, which he was betrayed, took bread. And we had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. So as the ushers hand out the elements, I just want to encourage us just to hold on to it. We'll take it together. But let's really continue to reflect on this idea, right? It's okay if you haven't been following entirely. But the important thing is, I believe God's giving us an invitation today. Come walk with me. come walk with me because I will be faithful to you. So let's keep praying. Is there anyone who has not received the elements? Let's pray on. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, God, that you sent your Son and that he came and he saved us. We thank you, God, that your promises are great, Lord, that you say you'll take care of us and you'll do all things, Lord, for us, God, on our behalf. And so, God, as your people today, Lord, we say thank you. Help us, God, to continue to live by faith, Lord, to follow you, that Jesus, to call you Master, God. Help us, God, to also recognize if there's any promises we still owe to you in that way. And Father, we may be right with you. We thank you, God. Bless you, Lord. So this is his body broken for you, and the blood in the new covenant poured out for you. Let's partake together. If you're able, let's rise and let's sing as we close our service. And as we've been doing since the beginning of Beatitudes, if there's something you feel like God's been speaking to you about, specifically in the area of surrender or to fulfill a promise. You know, the altars are open, and we'd be happy to pray for you. Let's sing. Father, we thank you, God, just for your words, God, and for your son's teaching. Help us, Lord, to be a people, God, that honors your name, God, be people that are good witnesses, Lord, and to fulfill, God, our vows. Father, I thank you, Lord, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness, Lord. And we pray, God, that as you continue to be faithful to us, Lord, help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Help us, God, to run after you, Lord. Help us, God, to live in such a way, God, where you truly are masters of all that we do. So, God, I thank you for my friends here today, God. I pray for a blessing over them. I ask, Lord, will you continue to minister to them in this way, God? Father, reveal your love to them, God, that there will be no fear, that walking in your calling will be as easy, God, simply as saying yes. Thank you, Lord. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a good Sunday. I'll see you back Tuesday.